Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Hope you're having a great Wednesday. It's Wednesday, June 12th, 2019. So much to talk about today. Father Mitch Pacwa will be joining me at about 15 minutes past the hour. And I'm bringing Father Pacwa on because I want to look at what we're going through right now in our country and in our world with this denial of reality. Dr. Janet Smith alluded to it yesterday when the Vatican put out their paper on Monday regarding male and female. He created them. And this was from the division or the office dealing with Catholic education, because the church is very concerned about what's happening in terms of how this ideology, not based on reality of who we are, made in the image and likeness of God, male and female, not based on biology. The fact that they're claiming now that you can just go ahead and choose your sex any day of the week. One day if you want to be a man, you're fine. The other day if you're a woman. However you identify, that's all that matters. Now, I'm greatly generalizing and paraphrasing, but the point is that we are living in this, as Janet said yesterday, emperor's new clothes situations. You know, that old saying, denial is not just another river in Egypt. Perfect example is when I posted a really good commentary that was on Catholic News Agency about the Vatican report, posted it on my Facebook page yesterday. A woman waves in and says, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't have my Facebook page filled up, but I read it this morning, and she says, well, you know, this theory from the church is very nice, but just like all theories, it has to be tested. And I wrote her and I said, it's not a theory, it's reality. It's biology 101. I mean, just take religion out of it. So this is what I'm talking about. How do you break through? And how do we approach these topics? And I think one of the best things we can do, at least I've found this to be true in my own conversations with people, is to politely raise questions. For example, we're seeing now, and Janet mentioned this yesterday, Dr. Janet Smith is whom we were speaking with, that in the school systems you have these schools and principals that have to, and there's a law passed, and I forget which state she mentioned this happened in, but where if the child wants to be identified, if it's a boy and they want to identify as a girl and vice versa, then the teachers are obligated and the parents cannot be told. And this is happening in grade schools. Now, what if I raise the question, and this is where we're not talking about reality here, and it's only having to do with sexuality. What happened if that student went to school and said, I want to identify as the principal, or I want to identify as the school nurse, or I want to identify as a teacher? So therefore, I say I am the teacher and you must oblige and not tell my parents. They would march that student, rightfully so, down to the principal's office, call the parents, and let the parents know that their child has major disciplinary issues. And yet, when it comes to sexuality, hands off. And walking around as if this is fine and this is real when it's all make-believe. And then last week, I don't know if you heard the story I ran in the news where I was talking about how the World Health Organization has issued its latest report on the number of sexually transmitted diseases. They keep increasing. And yet the way the media reported it, and I may have talked about this in the first hour of the show and did my little media literacy lesson that I like to do once in a while, in the phrases that the media used and the adjectives to describe the situation, they called the diseases that were being diagnosed as curable and said the reason that they're happening is because people are not having quote-unquote safe sex. So it's no big deal. It's all curable, so we can keep doing what we want. I think it was Einstein who said, doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results, what is that? I think you know the answer to that question. But again, this is denying reality. And what's so fascinating, if you even do just a little bit of research, let's take the religious component out of it. Because as I always say, you can defend God by just talking about science because he's a great scientist and he's a great creator. Just look at the natural law and look at the fallout, the implosion that we have. One of the best teachers, I think, out there in terms of what's happening with sexuality is Dr. Miriam Grossman. I quote her all over the place, and also Dr. Meg Meeker. But Dr. Miriam Grossman, I quote her all over the place in my book, Extreme Makeover. And she's testified numerous times before Congress on what's happening with the transgender agenda. She's also testified and written books about what's happening to young women. She worked on the college campus as a psychiatrist. And she saw so many of these young girls coming into her who were just miserable. They did everything right in terms of exercise, eating healthy. They were good students, or had been until they were struggling with all these different mental issues. And then she found the common denominator was that these girls were sexually active and had so much emotional baggage from that what was supposed to bring them so much happiness. And Dr. Smith said something yesterday that I thought was very key, and we'll get Father Mitch's take on this, is how much misery do we have to suffer before we wake up and admit that we're wrong? And it's very hard to do that. When you've been living your life a certain way, speaking from experience, in terms of wanting to do my own thing with my, you know, career choices and whatnot, and banging my head against a brick wall because it wasn't going my way until I finally said, okay, you're God and I'm not. But whether it's with your desire to do something or something that you have your heart set on, or whether it's living a life away from the church and buying into what the secular world is offering, eventually, God willing, you realize that you're wrong. At this point, though, what I see out there in the culture is just more and more despair upon despair and more people trying to say that this is fine. And speaking of despair, maybe we can get to this with Father Mitch today. This shocking report that comes out of the Commonwealth Fund. More Americans are dying from suicide, drug overdoses, and alcohol than ever before. A report out today says the rates of so-called deaths of despair at an all time high. Deaths of despair. Now, some of this is being attributed to the opioid crisis. Okay, I get that in terms of people who are getting addicted, and this is happening because they're taking pain medication and something by no fault of their own that they get hooked on these things because they're told that this is okay and they're given the wrong amounts, and it's just very, very tragic. But also in this report, alcohol and other types of drugs, and they're calling it deaths of despair. So this report, I went on the website that had the report, and it's more just statistics and whatnot. But I'm just surmising that the despair is that they don't have God in their life, because we keep pushing God out of everything. And we keep trying to make it all up ourselves. In the end, it's nothing but emptiness and misery. So that's just my two cents. All right, it's already 8 minutes past the hour. Lots of news to get through. After Father Mitch, we go to Rome. Some great news from Joan Lewis, Father Augustus Tolton, advancing along the path to sainthood. She'll have the latest. Right now, let's see what's happening in and around the world on your Wednesday morning, June 12th, 2019. Well, as we just mentioned, Father Augustus Tolton advancing along the path to sainthood and making the runaway slave turn priest one step closer to being the first Black American saint. Pope Francis today recognizing the heroic virtue of Father Tolton today, making him venerable within the church, only two steps away from canonization. And Joan will have more on that in about a half an hour. In Baltimore, Roman Catholic bishops are trying to figure out how to deal with the church's child sex abuse crisis. The issue, the main focus of the spring 2019 Conference of Catholic Bishops, getting underway yesterday in Baltimore. They're considering proposals calling for compassionate pastoral care of abuse victims, a new system for reporting abuse, and an expanded role for non-church experts to hold bishops accountable. Meanwhile, a new poll finding a majority of Americans see the Catholic clergy sex abuse crisis as an ongoing issue. The poll by the Pew Research Center finding 79% of U.S. adults say the recent reports of sexual abuse and misconduct by Catholic priests and bishops reflecting ongoing problems that are still happening in the church. The Save Chick-fil-A law now on the books in Texas. Governor Greg Abbott signing that measure on Monday, forbidding government entities from discriminating against people or businesses based on their membership in or donations to religious organizations. Texas State Senator Brian Hughes speaking of the bill's religious freedom significance during final debate.
This protects everyone's right to religious freedom, regardless of your political stripe, regardless of your lifestyle or your background or your origin, or whether you grew up poor like I did or wealthy like other people did. It doesn't matter. Everyone is protected. It's the American way.
Supporters of the measure, referring to San Antonio City Council's recent decision to bar Chick-fil-A from opening a location in the city airport after a council member complained about what he called the company's anti-LGBTQ behavior. The Supreme Court rejecting without comment a case brought by an atheist who wants to scrub the motto, "In God We Trust," from the nation's currency. Michael Newdow arguing U.S. money lacked any reference to God until 1864 when it was added, and claims it amounts to an endorsement of religion. More Americans are dying from suicide, drug overdoses, as we mentioned, and alcohol than ever before. A report out today saying the rates of so-called deaths of despair are at all-time highs. The authors of the study saying the highest death rates from drug overdose are in West Virginia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Meanwhile, people in Montana, the Dakotas, Wyoming, Nebraska, and Oregon dying at higher rates by suicide or alcohol than from drugs. Police in El Paso say two more bodies have been recovered from a canal in the lower valley. El Paso Police Spokesman Sergeant Robert Gomez.
And that's because of the high number of people crossing the international boundaries, having to cross the waterways. They just released the water in those waterways, so fortunately these occurrences happen, and that's pretty much what's contributing to the bodies found.
A report says the bodies of a male adult and underage female recovered from a site near the Zaragoza Bridge last evening. Investigators have not said whether the victims carried any identification or whether they may be immigrants on Monday. Police and border officials confirming the deaths of four immigrants, apparently from drowning, three in a storm drain, and one in a canal. The acting Secretary of the Homeland Security Department warning about an unprecedented crisis at the southern border. During a Senate hearing yesterday, Kevin McAleenan said President Trump is trying to tackle the issue.
The administration is doing everything within our power to secure the border and restore integrity to our immigration system, including new agreements with Mexico and Guatemala designed to reduce the flow reaching the U.S. border.
He blamed gaps and weaknesses in U.S. immigration laws. He also said government border facilities are overflowing and resources are being stretched thin. He also noted that smugglers are making large amounts of money moving people across the border, often in very dangerous conditions. And the lead engineer is among those being blamed in a new report about last year's deadly collapse of a Florida International University pedestrian bridge. The report released by OSHA finding hours before the collapse, engineers discovered cracks that should have been led to the road under the bridge being closed, but instead led an engineer who said he didn't think it was necessary. The engineer is also accused of ignoring claims from construction workers that cracks were getting bigger, but the construction management is also blamed for not overriding the engineer Denny Pate and closing the street anyway. OSHA also finding that engineers are first made aware of cracks 5 days before the actual collapse. It's a Wednesday morning, June 12th. Good to be with you on a Wednesday and every day here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. What can we do to break through to our brothers and sisters who are living in what really amounts to the Emperor's New Clothes, an alternate universe that does not include reality? We'll tackle that important question with the one, the only, Father Mitch Pacwa, up next on Catholic Connection.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Join me, Teresa Tomeo, and Father John Ricardo for fun fellowship in beautiful weather during our Good News Marriage Cruise. Former NFL star Matt Burke will also be there sailing the Caribbean as we explore how to rejuvenate your marriage in Christ. We're sailing January 26th to February 1st, so call 855-879-6932. That's 855-879-6932. Or visit AveMariaRadio.net for early registration discounts.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
We're having a blessed Wednesday. Phone lines are open, 877-573-7825. If you have a question for our guest, Father Mitch Pacwa, really needs no introduction, but one of the top EWTN hosts, both on radio and television, scripture scholar, famous pilgrimage leader, author, and just a wealth of knowledge on the Catholic faith. And I wanted to bring Father on this morning to continue this conversation we had with Dr. Janet Smith yesterday regarding this document that the church put out, which was very solid in terms of the fact that we are created male and female. That is reality. And it is for our benefit that we understand who we are made in God's image. And they approached it, especially from a Catholic education perspective. But what Father and I were talking about during the break, it's very important if you read the document, and I have a link to it on my Facebook page, you could see how they're trying to have us have dialogue and conversation, which, Father, I have to say, sometimes can be so frustrating because people truly are living in an alternate reality, denying that,
yeah,
that this is
right.
That this is true. So good morning. Thanks for joining us. Where do we begin, first of all?
Yeah, I think the document itself starts off and develops throughout the themes. Listen, reason, and then propose. Now, for our part, it is very important to listen to what's going on. That's a characteristic of the document, is that this is from the part of Vatican administration that deals with education.
Right.
That's their purpose. And I'm very impressed with the way that they've listened to what's going on in the education of young people around the world about gender and sex. They're doing that job of listening. We have to pay attention. What actually are the arguments? There is we're arguing with people who are relativistic. That start off with that. They're just with their whole view of life. There
right.
is no such thing as truth.
Objective truth, right. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist. The only, and which of course, as I always like to point out, once you say that, you've just made an objectively true or false statement.
Mm-hmm.
You're claiming that that's objectively true, that there is no objective truth. In other words, these people are inherently inconsistent. They cannot be anything but inherently inconsistent. The problem is they never pay attention to their own inconsistency.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing.
Well, they're not challenged. I mean, they just, and many people, including many Catholics, are listening to this and agreeing with it and weighing in and saying, oh, this is fine and it's no big deal. So this is why it's so important to talk about this on Catholic radio.
Well, that's it. We're like fish in water who don't realize that we're in water. We just take
right.
it for granted. This is the culture. The problem is this is boiling water.
Mm-hmm.
It's not safe, and it's not healthy. So, or if you don't like boiling water, it's polluted water,
right.
And it's unsafe. So we have to listen to what's going to their relativism and how they are applying their relativistic thought to sex and gender. And the doctrine brings out well, they distinguished between biological sex and gender. Gender is what they claim is the culturally or personally determined way you live out your sexuality. So you're born with a certain sexuality, but you have a gender that is imposed on you by culture. In other words, the way you live being a boy or a girl is imposed on culture. Now, here's one of the things. I oftentimes think that not only have they not raised children, they don't pay attention to people who have. I have not raised any children, but I am in good contact with people who do. And there are just differences between boys and girls that show up by age 4 months, if not earlier. Little girls want to communicate more. Little boys like to make noises. And that is a difference that is kind of hardwired. Now, how you live that out is affected by culture. That's one of their points. That's true. And there are some cultural elements that are very unhealthy. So, for instance, because little boys are more grow up in general to be more muscular than little girls, in some cultures and some expressions, men are mean to girls, and you know, and they try to dominate girls in ways that are unjust and unacceptable. But to say that, therefore, you can make your gender expression anything you want, that it's like silly putty, that it can be anything you want it to be, that's going too far. There are definite limits of being in human bodies that are part of life, and there's and there are limits that also contain within them strength. This is a problem about the culture. To see that the differences between men and women are not merely about exchanges of power between each other, but rather there is a complementary component of the way men and women interact, and that each needs each other is a part of life. What the modern education is trying to do is say, nope, it's not necessary. I don't know if you remember the old bumper sticker, women need men like fish need a bicycle.
That was Gloria Steinem's favorite quote.
And that's simply untrue. It's biologically untrue, and it is also personally untrue. The complementariness between men and women is extremely important. I, as a priest in the church, really feel the lack of nuns in the church.
Mm-hmm.
There's a complementarity that we need the sisters. They are not just sort of an extra. They are a very crucial component of life at church, just like a husband and wife are key for a marriage and for the raising of children. It is not optional. You see, just one of my own experiences of dealing with prisons is to point out that 80% of all prison inmates are the children of unmarried parents, and in the vast majority of those, the fathers are never there, and they miss out on an element that their father can bring them. Their mother brings great gifts, but these guys are missing their mother or their fathers.
Yeah, and I think this is another denial of reality, though, Father. And Dr. Janet Smith brought up the point yesterday, is how miserable do we have to get before we wake up and smell the cappuccino. This only occurs in the area of sexuality or and with abortion, and that ties in with the whole thing, and sexuality. I was saying at the top of the hour, if a student, and now it's legal in some states, where if a student identifies as a girl or a boy and wants to change their quote-unquote gender affiliation, a teacher in some areas is obligated to refer to him or her as a girl or a boy, whatever they choose, without telling the parent, without notifying the parent. And yet, if that same student walked in and said, I identify now as the teacher, and I want to sit at the desk and run the classroom, that teacher would rightfully march that student down to the principal's office, and it would be taken up with the parents. It is only in the area of sexuality where this denial of reality seems to be occurring over and over again.
One of my recent guests was Dr. Morse.
She's great. Hold on 1 second. Let's take a break, and we'll take some calls as well. Father Mitch Pacwa, 877-573-7825. Breaking through what seems to be over and over again, the emperor's new clothes, and the fact that denial is not just another river in Egypt. How do we break through? 877-573-7825. More with Father Mitch coming up.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle, and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades, and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Why does marriage require complete fidelity between spouses? The Catholic Catechism states that the intimate union of marriage is a mutual self-giving of two persons ordered to the welfare of their children, which requires that there be an unbreakable union between them. The deepest reason is found in the fidelity of Christ to his church. Through the sacrament of matrimony, the spouses are able to represent that fidelity and witness to it. For these reasons, the spouses can be nothing but completely faithful to one another. Marriage is such a deep, personal union of giving oneself to the other that it cannot, the Catechism asserts, be an arrangement until further notice. As difficult as it may seem to retain this indissolubility for a lifetime, it is made possible by God's irrevocable love in which the couple shares and which will support them through their marital journey. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hope you're having a great Wednesday. Dynamic conversation with the one, the only, Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN, radio and TV, scripture scholar, and all-around extremely knowledgeable priest on all things Catholic and much more. 877-573-7825. Tackling how do we break through? And Father, you were mentioning before the break that you had recently interviewed Dr. Jennifer Robeck Morris, who's got great, great research and information on the Ruth Institute website.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. But one of the points that she makes is that on one hand, with all of this change in gender ideology, we're saying that your gender is silly putty that can be shaped in any way you want or pick up any image that you want from the comic page or anywhere else that you want. And it's just completely malleable. On the other hand, and the goal of that is for each individual to have absolute freedom with no interference from anybody in the culture, especially the church. And it reminded me of the battle cry after Humanae Vitae came out, where people are saying, wait a minute, keep the Pope out of our bedroom. We don't want him telling us what to do. And I always used to say in response, I still say in response, the Pope doesn't want to be in your bedroom. You flatter yourself. But what he wants is for God to be Lord of every part of your life and house, and including your sexuality. And one of the ironies is that as people pursue absolute freedom to form themselves in their gender identity in any way they want, the more they seek that absolute freedom, the more that the state gets involved in your sexual life. So, for instance, you had mentioned a few minutes ago how some states have made it a law that
right.
if a child identifies as one gender, even if it's not related to their biology, then teachers must refer to that child by that gender.
Right.
Even though the teacher's freedom is now removed by the state.
Mm-hmm.
So the teacher no longer has freedom to say, well, I think that the child is a duck.
And the parents don't have any freedom because the parents aren't even involved. The parents
exactly.
don't have to be notified.
And so you take a look at this and you say, you know, they are not using good sense here. But they are giving the government ever-increasing power over these issues. And what we have to keep in mind is that this is going to end up limiting your freedom more than if you had left this in the hands of God and the way that the Lord God wants you to live life.
All right, so you gave us some good advice.
I want to get
back to this, but I don't want to interrupt you, but there's a couple of points we need to make. We have 6 minutes left. Every time you're on, it's like the time just goes whoosh, and I've got like a gazillion questions. All right, so you mentioned earlier with this document, it talks about listening, and I thought it was very key, and talks about listening to the culture, and I thought it was spot on to release it this month,
yep.
which is Gay Pride Month, and this is meant to wake people up and say, hey, wait a minute, because a lot of Catholics have bought into all this pride and the rainbow flags, and everything is wonderful, and we have to celebrate this. We do not discriminate. We love all brothers and sisters, regardless of one's orientation. The church is very clear. The document was very clear on that. But what these types of events that are occurring all over the country and the world are claiming is that we have to celebrate, we have to embrace, we have to promote this. And so in terms of listening to the culture, the fact that they release this document during this particular time I thought was very key. So we listen, and doesn't mean we buy into what the culture is saying, but we have to listen to it so we can respond. So we listen, then how do we respond, Father, do you think?
Okay, yeah, that's a great line, because remember St. John the 23rd had said, observe the signs of the times. He did not say, buy everything that the
right.
signs are selling.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to use reason to think this through. So we see how people have said, well, I'm going to have family any way I want. But then the result of it is people don't get married. They still have children out of wedlock. They have serial relationships, a series of different men coming into the homes of various women, usually. And as a result, the children experience more poverty. And so you say, all right, how is that working out for the kids?
Right, so
not
you raise
well.
Questions, right? This is where the church talks about proposing.
Exactly.
You raise questions. Right.
You raise these questions and try to understand, how is this helping us? It's not. It's children who are suffering horribly. And again, I know lots of these families, and the state gets involved in telling which one of the parents can or cannot even see the children. You lose your freedom by following this ideology.
Yeah.
And you don't even notice it until, like in living
the
in a
frog in the water,
in the
water that keeps
getting
yep, mm-hmm.
polluted environment.
Yep.
It kills you before you realize there are poisons in the atmosphere.
Yeah,
and
great
your
points.
Freedom is gone.
Yeah,
this is where the church is saying, pay attention to mm-hmm. reality of the complementary nature of men and women, and allow that reality to form the way you look at life.
Yeah, yeah.
Use good sense and don't believe nonsense. And, you know, for instance, you know, the Bishop of Providence, Rhode Island, mm-hmm. has been criticized because he said not to go to the gay pride parades to celebrate this. Whereas, you know, I would totally agree with him. There are people walking around with little or no clothes. This is the kind of behavior that children do not need to be exposed to. And this is, and then the reaction will be, well, who are you to say that they shouldn't be exposed to that? Well, I'm someone who says that exposing kids to sexually charged imagery, especially living ones, is going to give them a skewed understanding.
Well, there's evidence of that. There's tons of research, not not coming from the Catholic Church, from psychologists, from medical other medical professionals, showing that the impact it has. Father, believe it or not, we're out of time.
We think about it, and then we propose common sense.
Right, and raise the question. The church doesn't impose. She always proposes. And I always say you can go to just the research that's out there, and there's tons of it out there, and doesn't even have to be from a quote-unquote religious perspective. You have Dr. Miriam Grossman, who's fantastic. You've got the World Health Organization, as liberal as they are, whether they realize it, backs up church teaching by talking about the increased problems with sexually transmitted infections and how women are mistreated in all of this. And this is what the church has been saying for 2,000 years. And as it says in Ecclesiastes, nothing new under the sun. So we discern, we pray, we listen, and we respond with questions to get people to think and not drink the Kool-Aid or stay in that pot of soon-to-be boiling water. Father Mitch Pacwa, thank you so much. We will have you back on soon as we continue to witness and learn how to do it even better every day. We'll be right back. Joan Lewis, live from Rome. Stay tuned.
Why are there so few practicing Catholics in public office? And by practicing, I mean Orthodox, faithful to all the Church's teachings. There are many thousands of good Catholic candidates for school boards, mayor seats, state senate, Congress, governorships, even the presidency. They're out there. Some of them may be listening right now. We need to spend less time complaining about faux Catholics out there and more of our time encouraging the real ones to get in the game. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 1915, we read, "As far as possible, citizens should take an active part in public life." Don't get me wrong, public life is not easy. The times are tough. But were they as tough as the first, say, 300 years of the Church? Haven't we as Catholics faced down more fearsome enemies than the ones we face today? I think so too. I'm Patrick Coffin of PatrickCoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the wisdom of God, and so we try to develop the mind of Christ, whether we're looking at the bioethics of gene editing, immigration in the United States, abortion at the Supreme Court, or movies in Hollywood. So join me as we look at the news of the world through the lens of Scripture and the teaching of the Catholic Church.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, this afternoon, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Turning now to Rome, so much news, barely scratch the surface in 20 minutes. We do our best. Joan Lewis. All right, so where do we begin? I don't know where to start. I guess let's start with some good news. The latest with Father Tolton. That was great. Good news today.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Let's start with some good news. The Vatican today announced the heroic virtues of eight people, which is, and the Pope said yesterday in a meeting with the prefect of the Congregation for the Causes of Saints, that these could be promulgated. And one of the causes, if you will, of heroic virtues was for a servant of God, Augustine Tolton, diocesan priest, born in Bush Creek, USA, died in Chicago July 9th, 1897. Oh, born in 1854. Anyway, Brush Creek, I think I said Bush. Brush Creek is in Missouri, and Father Tolton was he's a Missouri-born priest and the first African-American ordained as a Catholic priest. So he was born of slaves, a former slave himself, and he was reared as a Catholic. His mother was Catholic, and so he was named Augustus, but named Augustine when he was, or Augustine, I'm never sure which pronunciation to go mm-hmm. with on that name, when he was baptized. And I did not, I guess I'd known this but forgotten, but Father Tolton studied in Rome, and he was ordained at St. John Lateran Basilica on Easter.
That's because he was rejected in the United States. That's a shameful thing in our past, and so he went to Rome. It's just, you know, God bless him, for he was so persistent because he knew that God called him to be a priest.
Right.
Yeah.
And eventually, when he was in Chicago, he helped build St. Monica's Church, and that became the home to Black American Catholics. And then the site, I did put up a link to the site in the dedicated to him on the Archdiocese of Chicago's webpage, too. So that's wonderful news. And, you know, like you said, he was rejected, and it makes me think of my wonderful friend, the late Cardinal George. He had polio, and as we all know, walked with a slight limp, but he was rejected by his mother knew how much he wanted to be a priest.
Aww.
And he was rejected when he went to Mundelein in Chicago, and his mother started, I guess without telling him, that just looking around, and she found the Oblates of Mary Immaculate in southern Illinois, and the rest is history. And not only was he accepted, he became a globe-trotting missionary and a cardinal of the Catholic Church. So watch out when you say no to somebody.
That's right. Well, there's a really good summary of this on Catholic News Agency. It says, no American seminary would accept Tolton because of his race, so he studied for the priesthood in Rome. However, when he returned to the U.S. after his ordination in 1889, thousands of people lined the streets to greet him. A brass band played hymns, and Negro spirituals and Black and white people processed together into the local church. What a moment that must have been. Could you even imagine?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm delighted. I can imagine the cries of joy that went up in the U.S. today, be it Missouri, be it Chicago, be it all over the Catholic Church in the United States. A wonderful day for our Catholic Church. Well, it's interesting, too, when you think of it, because if you look at the new Archbishop of Washington, Wilton Gregory, who,
right.
of course, for years was in Atlanta, and the Archdiocese of Washington is always a red hat, so expected to be the first, African-American to become a cardinal. So interesting news on two fronts.
877-573-7825. If you'd like to talk with Joan Lewis, having a great conversation on some good news that is out of Rome, 877-573-7825. All right, and also a buzz here in the States. Vigano has come out of hiding again, responding to the Holy Father's interview with the Mexican journalist not too long ago. So give us the latest on that.
Well, in his, you're referring to the Washington Post interview, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Because he apparently, over a period of 2 months, the Washington Post says this, 2 months and 40 questions and about 8,000 words in all of his answers, Vigano has not yet revealed where he was in hiding. He answered a few questions with the letters N-A, meaning non-applicable, like where are you residing? Are you okay? What measures are you, taking for your safety? But I thought it was a very clear, forceful, well-laid-out answer to all the questions that the Post answered. I thought they were good questions. And obviously anybody who reads this and has been keeping up with Vigano and the statements that the Holy Father actually knew more than he has said about Cardinal McCarrick, former Cardinal McCarrick, and about others, people will be rejoicing on one side of the coin and very provoked on the other side of the coin, because Archbishop Vigano simply insists that he did tell the Pope about McCarrick's time with seminarians, if you will. And he told him June 23rd, 2013, and the Holy Father has constantly insisted that that did not happen. Actually, I believe the last to the Mexican journalist, the Holy Father had said he didn't recall any meeting like that. So not totally denying, but saying he didn't recall. But excellent. It does not take that long to read.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a Catholic who's very concerned about what's happening on sex abuse issues, is the Vatican hiding things? Are bishops hiding things? I urge you to go to the Washington Post and to read this. In fact, today I'll be putting a link on my blog and my Facebook page to the full article. So all you have to do is click. But definitely merits reading, and I think you'll see so much of Archbishop Vigano's reasoning, his logic in presenting all of his cases is indisputable as far as I'm concerned. And you know what I have to tell you? I was covering it in the Vatican before 2011, when he was the number two man at the governorate being the office in the Vatican that runs Vatican City State, museums and gas pumps and stores, etc. Well, when he was there as the number two, as Archbishop, he came across a lot of corruption. He came across cost overruns, huge things, which he detailed in two separate letters to then Pope Benedict. Well, those letters, if our listeners recall, were purloined, and they were by the butler of the Pope, and they were brought and shown live on a television show, a talk show, Italian television. And the Archbishop Vigano named one or two people at the time, but basically it was an overview of the cost overruns and the corruption that he found, and detailing each of those accusations. Well, you know, you can imagine, Teresa, he was not much loved by a lot of people who were implied as being involved in those two issues. And the funny thing is, he'd gone into the governorate and actually was a very popular, loved person, and he had done a great deal to rebuild morale in the governorate. So now you have him coming out, and the same people who years ago when he was there did not like him for publishing these letters. He didn't publish the letters, I'm sorry. Again, they were purloined and made public. He intended to get those right into the hands of Pope Benedict. So my point in saying all this is that he had enemies and has enemies in the Vatican today, in Vatican City State and in the Vatican today. People who don't mind defaming him and blackening, you know, his name, and they'll just keep it up until I don't know when. But
well, that happens in all kinds of corruption cases, whether it's a church or elsewhere. When there are whistleblowers, what do? You attack the messenger. You attack the whistleblower. It's the oldest trick in the book. I will say, I don't know if you saw this, but Pew has a new poll out, and I think this is very significant coming out the week of the bishops' conference, and in light of the Washington Post piece that you just mentioned. Catholics want answers, and faithful Catholics, we're faithful. We're not going to leave the church, but we want answers, and we're not going to sit back and say, oh, this is no big deal. Everything will be fine. We know God's got this, but in the meantime, where is hands and feet? And I think this is a very important poll. A new poll finding a majority of Americans see the Catholic clergy's sex abuse as an ongoing problem. The poll finding that 79% of adults say the recent reports of sex abuse and misconduct by Catholic priests and bishops reflect ongoing problems that are still happening in the church. And most recently, we had the whole Bishop Bransfield controversy and the situation Archbishop Laurie now saying he is apologizing for not releasing or redacting the names of the bishops that received gifts. I mean, these are the kind of things that get us just like, really? I mean, seriously? Enough already. So this is, I'm hoping and I'm praying, and I was talking about this with Dr. Bunsen, that the bishops are aware, as much as we love our church and we support our leaders and we do what we have to do, we have a right to keep their feet to the fire. We have to, for the sake of the church.
Oh, absolutely. You are totally right. And, you know, it makes me think of years ago, before Joaquin Navarro Valls in 1984 mm-hmm. became head of the Vatican Press Office, when there were issues, I don't even think near the, as problematic as a lot of the issues today, but when there were issues that the Vatican felt, saw that could embarrass the church or Vatican City or a cardinal or something like that, they tended not even to answer the press when the press would ask questions. So they'd sweep it under the rug. Well, what you do when you sweep something under the rug, people presume you're hiding something. So then opinions and articles and pieces come out. They may not be filled with facts because they don't have facts, but then all of a sudden, things are just being kind of made up. Well, if the church did this, then it must mean that. And when Navarro Valls came in, he could see how damaging that actually was to the church to hide things. If something bad has happened, we come out, we face it, we talk about it in the press office. We're going to get as many, you know, pieces of information. So he started a trend, and today we still have stuff, though, that is being, you know, swept under the rug, and someday somebody's going to put wood on the floor instead of rug. So,
well, you can't, I mean, you just can't do that anymore in this day and age of the way information spreads, and you have to be able
right.
to respond to these. I mean, you can't respond to every single inquiry, but you have to have transparency. You really do. You can't just stop.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. We've got another, 2 days in the bishop's meeting in the U.S.
Right.
So, and there's a big meeting here in the Vatican, by the way. The Holy Father has called together all of the papal representatives. The Vatican calls them representatives. You and I would call them papal ambassadors. And they began their four-day meeting today, meetings with the Holy Father. Cardinal Parolin said Mass in St. Peter's Basilica for them today and gave a homily. And these are people who are, I'm looking for my statistics on it. There are 106 nuncios, I think it is, coming into, let me see, 106 nuncios. No, there's more than that. And then there are also permanent observers, which are all, they're also nuncios. A nuncio, by the way, a papal ambassador, always has the rank of archbishop. And the only one who's actually a cardinal is the nuncio who today, the Holy Father made him a cardinal last year, and that's the one in Syria. But so you will have men, for example, at the United Nations, at different offices of the UN in Geneva and so forth, and they're called permanent observers, but they still have the rank of archbishop. So they're going to meet to discuss events in the world, and the Holy Father will be addressing them at one point. I think it's actually tomorrow, the 13th. And then he also will be saying Mass for them in the Santa Marta in the
Residence.
Santa Marta Chapel
yeah.
on the mm-hmm. on the final day on the 15th. So it'll be interesting. I know EWTN's trying to corner some of the ambassadors and nuncios and find out what life is like in the country to which they're accredited, what they're seeing and hearing in Rome, etc. So should be four very interesting days. A lot of these men are extremely capable, very brilliant, multilingual people. So I'm kind of excited about the meeting.
Yeah, well, we'll look forward to more coverage from you and the rest of our team at EWTN, as well as our coverage of the Bishops' Conference going on this week. You can check out all of our great resources, including Joan's Rome, as well as EWTN News Nightly. Joan joining Jim and Joy Pinto on iHome with Jim and Joy and giving her perspective from Rome as well. All kinds of great outreach, National Catholic Register, Catholic News Agency, and, of course, our own Lauren Ashburn and the EWTN News Nightly team. Thanks, Joan. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll be right back on a Wednesday morning. Stay tuned.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities.
4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. I want to announce that Steve Ray and I will be going on pilgrimage to the great land of Poland, August 21st to August 30th.
We're going to follow John Paul II, Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy, and Maximilian Kolbe. We're even going to visit Auschwitz and see the place where Maximilian Kolbe gave his life in the cell there.
People can get more information at AveMariaRadio.net. And where else, Steve?
CatholicConvert.com. Click on the big pilgrimage banner or call 866-468-1420.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic Adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Wrapping up a Wednesday morning, don't forget, check out all of our information, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net, co-producers of this program, Catholic Connection. I am so excited to have Dr. Meg Meeker back on the program. She's going to help you help your children transition into summer. Not summer on the calendar yet, but many children are out of school and home, and she'll have some great ideas. That's coming up tomorrow, plus you on a Thursday. Ciao, ciao. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.